And I'm excited to kind of commission them as a body, which I'm excited about. I wanted to take this opportunity to share with you guys what we've been up to over the past 9 to 10 months. Some of you may know, I think most of you know, when we stepped down from Cornerstone and when we moved into a church plant situation, Lauren and I were feeling that God was really calling us to be a part of serving Him as a family, where we lived, in our community, in our context, with our neighbors. And so we looked at, I mean, we did everything. We were like, God, we have no idea what that means, and so we're just going to pray and look for opportunities. We looked at houses around this church as one of the options because we love you guys and we loved being a part of this church. We looked at churches out in Colorado. We looked everywhere. And God just, through a great story, opened up the back door of this church called Heritage in this town called Libertyville, where we had just happened to live for the past 7.5 years. And we were excited about what God was doing there, what the vision for the church was, and it was clear that these relationships we had been building in our neighborhood, in our townhomes with these people, we would get to start pulling on these relationships a little bit more than we had been. We'd get to invite people to church that's literally 3 minutes away, and we get to invite them over for other people from Libertyville who are followers of Jesus. And it was just a really cool God bringing things together. One of those moments, kind of like the beginning of Foundation Skate Ministry, which I'll share with you guys later. One of those moments where you get a tug and you feel God leading and you say, I don't know, I don't have the answers. This doesn't feel like I have it all planned out, but I am clear that this is where you want us to go. And so we go. And then God does some cool stuff and you get that sense of confirmation that this is definitely where God wanted us to go, and it's been an amazing thing. So I wanted to share with you a little bit about how our church is doing. The plan was when we left that we would only be part-time with the church, which is scary. As you guys know, we have 3 kids now, and they need to eat, and we have to pay bills. And so all that stuff kind of, you're like, wow, I don't know how this works, being a family of 5 and part-time church gig and a church plant. And so we said, okay, we said yes to that, and we moved in that direction, and we fell in love with the family at Heritage. They were very close-knit family. They all loved Jesus, and they had a heart for outreach, a heart to reach their neighbors, to serve the community with what they had. And so we started going back in December, and it took about three, four months before they were willing and at a place financially where they could bring us on full time. And we were expecting like a year before we were going to be full time. So that was like the first of many. The church doing well, the family feeling that we were missing from here, then us going full-time, it was another confirmation that God was like in this. And so, just so you guys know my role with the church, I am the assistant pastor, meaning from day one I did everything that you could possibly think that a church pastor needs to do, including a little bit of preaching. But as far as like building volunteer teams, community engagement, outreach events and dinners, coordinating small groups, leading the youth ministry, basically just like whatever you could think of, I had my hand in it, which was a very stretching time for me. That's not administrative, is not my gift, but it's something I've learned how to wrestle with and how to do. But like I said, the thing that kept us going was just building these relationships with people that were hungry to see God work in Libertyville. And like a lot of people think of Libertyville, we do as well. We move there because it's a nice area. And you just think there's not a lot of need there. Like, what does the church really need to plant in Libertyville for? Everyone's fed. Everyone's well-clothed. And what we started finding in our neighborhood is that a lot of physical needs are met, true. But there's a lot of emotional. There's a lot of loneliness. As we know from the Bible, money does not solve all the answers. And so we started seeing that God was using our church to reach people. And we're talking about not just non-Christians, but Christians who hadn't had a healthy expression of what the body of Christ looked like. Christians that were hungry for community. Christians that were hungry to live out their faith and not just be Christian in name alone. And so as we started like giving opportunities and we started empowering them to start dreaming with God what He could do with their neighbors, what they could start doing with God in their neighborhood, in their job place, in their context, like how God could move. As we started dreaming with them, we saw them become excited to serve more, too excited to share the gospel, to invite friends, to invite neighbors, to engage in relationship. And so that was another confirmation. And so today, to this day, we are actually in our church looking to begin meeting in 2 services because our first service is filled up. And now we've got the issue of how do we maintain this Christian community that everyone's in love with, that is the healthy expression of what the body of Christ should look like. how do we maintain that as we grow in numbers of people? And what I'm going to talk about today, it's awesome. This is what God has been doing in me in the past 10, 15 years. And I didn't realize that it had a name or that it, you know, I didn't know what to call it, but I knew the hunger for it. And I'm going to share a part of scripture out of Matthew with you guys that sums up how we're going to solve this growing church issue, how we're going to share the love of Christ with those around us, and how FSM actually started all stems from the same idea that we get to give a name to now and look to the scriptural support and relevance for it, and hopefully encourage and spur you guys on as my brothers and sisters to dream what God can be doing with you in your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, at your schools, with your friends. There's so much He wants to do. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 is that God has prepared us, right? It's not by anything we've done, but by grace we've been saved, and that we are a workmanship of God, and He's prepared ahead of time good works for us to walk in. And we want to dream about what those good works are and what God has for us. So, before I get into the scripture, before we really dive into it, I want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me and that you guys would be open to what He's going to say today. And so pray with me, please. Father God, thank you. It's from a heart of gratitude that we stand here. Lord, just these are fun times when we can look back and see what you've done, how you've been moving, because sometimes in the moment we don't see you. Sometimes in the moment we feel like we're alone. And there's those high mountaintop experiences and those low valley loneliness, heart-wrenching times, God. And in these moments of celebration, encouragement, and challenge, where we can look back over the past and see where your hand was and how you moved and how when we felt alone, you were there all along, Lord. To see how what seemed like a seamless thing in our lives actually was you guiding us into a certain area to reach a certain group of people, to share your love in a practical, real, tangible way. And so we just ask, God, that you would light a fire in our hearts, Holy Spirit, as we begin, or as Cornerstone begins to engage the darkness, that this would be an encouragement to them, that this would be a something to grab onto, something to dream about. Lord, that you would begin stirring in their hearts, that they would not be afraid of the darkness, but they would boldly charge into the darkness, holding your light at the front, your love in the front, serving those around them and showing practically what the love of Jesus looks like, showing what life in the kingdom of heaven could be, showing what it should be, showing Jesus how you are the answer to the poverty. You are the answer to people suffering from hurricanes. You are the answer to racism. You are the answer to anything going on in our culture that we feel hopeless about. You are the answer, Lord, through us. What a privilege that through us, through your church, through your people, that is your plan to show your kingdom and your love to this world. And so we just pray that we would be your humble servants, your vessels, that we would allow you to work through us, that we would dream with you, Jesus. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. All right. Sorry. Matthew 25. If you guys want to turn there, Matthew 25, this is the section of scripture we're going to be working out of. And just a little context for you. This is Jesus speaking to his followers about what to do in the meantime. Basically, he's preparing them for when he's going to return to the Father. And this is what he wants them to be doing until he returns again. And there's a section in here. He just finished talking about the talents. The parable of the talents, where there's the wicked slave who, because he thinks his master is shrewd, just sits on what God has given him, right? He doesn't use it. He doesn't risk it for anything. He's very cautious, which some of us would say, man, that's a frugal guy. Good job. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to use what he's given us, even in the face of being afraid of failure. Because you know what? He wants us to try. He wants to walk with us and teach us and help us learn how to use what he's given us to show his love to those around us. So, I've entitled this sermon, Make Room. If you're a note taker, it's called Make Room. And we'll kind of expound what that means, to make room. But I wanted to start just by reading this passage and wrestling with it. So this is again, Jesus speaking to his followers, telling them what they should do in the meantime. We're going to start in verse 31, so follow along if you're there. I'm reading out of the ESV, so if it sounds different, just bear with me. You guys use the ESV here too, so I think we should be good. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we see you thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. We're going to stop there real quick. We'll pick up the rest later. But that's just, for me, such a powerful image of what Jesus wants us to be doing. He sums it up very, very clearly, what he wants us to be doing. And there's a name for that. This scripture passage was the key passage for the early church forming what we call the practice of hospitality. And hospitality is like it's a weird word. We kind of twisted what it means. And if you would have asked me, like, back when I was starting FSM, like, Zach, are you engaging in hospitality? I'd be like, what? No, we're skateboarding. Talking about Jesus. This isn't hospitality. But I've learned that this term hospitality means so much more than the truncated, shortened version that we've given it today. That the early church saw hospitality as the outpouring of what God had called them to do in their context around them. And that is what I want to call us, Cornerstone, and I hope Heritage, Libertyville, call us back to, is being a church of hospitality to those around us. A church who is going to engage with the people around us, brothers and sisters, yes, but also those that we don't know, those that we perceive a need in, those that we've gotten to know, and we know there's a way we can serve them, that we would show them hospitality. So, I want to go through and look at the what, the why, the how, the where, and the when of hospitality. The what. Hospitality is described as opening up our home and lives to strangers or those in need, to provide food, shelter, or a safe place, to care for those who are hurting or sick. Now, that just sounds like common sense that we should do that. The cool thing about the Christian church was other people threw these events where people could come and dine. And eating food together and opening up your home was a very normal thing. But what made Christians stand out in the early church from the rest of culture is that Jesus tells us to go after those who are sick, who are hurting, who are alone, who are in poverty. Jesus calls us to go and open our homes and our hearts and our banquet tables, even if it's a meager banquet table, opening them up to them and not expecting anything in return. They used to practice hospitality, I mean non-Christians, and they would invite the most important people to come to their parties. They would invite the rich and the powerful because they knew that they would be benefiting from opening up their home to these people. But Jesus calls us not to do that. He calls us instead, which he does. You guys know the parable of the wedding banquet, right? Where the king calls for everyone to come in and join his banquet, and all the people he invited reply with, sorry, too busy, or there's that song that we sang as kids where it's like, I cannot come to your banquet, don't trouble me now. I have to say it the right way. Married a wife, I have bought me a cow. We used to sing it backwards when I was a kid. We used to, just to mess with our teacher, you know, bought me a wife and married a cow, but it's not. Anyways, so the whole point was they were too busy to actually respond to the king's invitation. And so then Jesus sends out his servants, or the king sends out his servants, and he says, go and find anyone in the streets, the poor, those on the sides, the sick, bring them in. Everyone will be invited and enjoy my feast. And that is the picture of the kingdom of heaven, is that we as Christians are to be like Jesus. As I've been studying hospitality and thinking about it, there's this really cool revelation that happened to me. And it was for me, but you guys maybe already know this, but I want to tell you, Jesus relied on hospitality on his time here on earth. I never thought of it this way, but if you think, Jesus was born a homeless infant, right? He knew the vulnerability of not having a place to be born into, right? So he relied on hospitality to have a safe place to be born. As a child, Jesus was a refugee, out of his own country, away from his own home, right? He had to flee for his life. And so he was a refugee, relying on the hospitality of others to make him feel safe at home, to provide food. What else? Jesus was also rejected by his own people. The people that should have called him friend and brother rejected him. Jesus was known as a man without a place to lay his head. Jesus was also, at the end of his life, a despised convict. All these things that he's calling us to serve and love into, Jesus was. Jesus knew what it was to be desperate, to be alone, to be scared. He had the Father, but he also relied on others to show that love to him. And he's inviting us to experience the kingdom of God and follow his example by doing the same. That we would open up our hearts and our homes to those around us who have need, who are alone, who are visiting the refugees, to go visit prisoners, to care for the sick, to do these practical, real implications of living out what we say every day we do, which is love and follow Jesus. So what is hospitality? It looks different in our culture than it did then. We've become so isolated. We are busy all day, then we come home, we lock our door, we turn on our TVs, we spend time at home. So it's not like it used to be, highly social. We don't meet in the marketplace anymore. There's not a town gate where we can meet strangers and invite them into our home. So we have to be intentional as Christians to get to know those people around us, to invite them over for dinner, to look for needs. We have to be proactive as followers of Jesus, to dream about what God could do at work, in our neighborhoods, what God could do. And I'm not talking about we have to dream about getting our tracts and get our Bible arguments together and go tell those people that they're going to hell and they need to accept Jesus. I'm talking about showing the love of Jesus. I'm talking about showing them who Jesus is without expecting anything in return, just simply to be obedient to your Father, to be generous like he is, to be kind and loving the way he is. And then, as conversation happens and the Holy Spirit leads, you can share why you're doing what you're doing when it's asked. But that comes from a place where you've shown the love of Jesus. That comes from a place where they've experienced what it is you're talking about, where they've seen selfless love played out. And the God that you're following, they're suddenly interested in, because that doesn't look like the world. That doesn't look like everything else they've seen. But sometimes we put what we want to say ahead of what we do. Or we live the way the world lives, but proclaim about this life that's life-giving, abundant, this Savior who is amazing and countercultural. Yet we, as his bride, don't look anything like him. And so the encouragement there is that he's inviting you into this. He wants you. It's an invitation. Come and live this life that I lived. Follow me in my day in and day out. And the crazy thing about it is, if you think back through the Bible of times of hospitality, the people who were opening up their home were blessed. In return, the people receiving the meal were blessed, but the people whose home was opened up were also blessed. By doing this, Abraham entertained angels, right? He saw three strangers coming, and he gets his wife, and they make a meal for him. And he sat down with angels and had a meal with them. He didn't know they were angels. But like Jesus says, that if we feed the hungry, we are doing that to him. If we clothe the naked, we are doing that to him. And I don't know, this is one of those mystery things. Is Jesus literally sitting at your table eating with you? He says he is. Is he physically? I don't know. But you know what I do know is that there's something here that he's saying we're not getting as a church if we're not living the way he wants us to. We're missing out on his presence. We're missing on seeing him work in our relationships. We're missing out on it. And he wants us to enjoy it. So what is hospitality? It's so much more than just, hey, come on over for dinner. It's so much more, guys. It's a practical way for us. And I actually wrote down some definitions here that I want to share with you guys, because I'm going to say it, but it's not going to be as good as she says it. Where did I put it? I've got a lot of notes here. What is hospitality? I don't see it. All right, well, anyways. she describes this, and I say she. There's this girl named Christine Pohl who writes extensively about hospitality. And she talks about how hospitality is a framework in which we can exercise and act out and view the gospel. As we extend hospitality to others, it gives us a lens to see the gospel in a real way. Because if you think about what the gospel is, it's a generous God who loves us and provides for us, who takes care of our needs, and then who came to us when we were dead, gave his life for us, not expecting anything. There's no way we could earn it. We weren't good enough for it, right? He just gave out of the abundance and generosity of his love, and we received and were blessed by it. And that is what hospitality is that we, in our abundance and our generous hearts that come from the Father, are showing that love to others. And we're not expecting anything back in return. We're just doing it because that's who our Father is, and that's who he's made us to be. And we are reflecting the gospel. And as we do that, we experience and preach the gospel to ourselves as we become like Jesus to those around us. So that's the what. The why. The why is pretty simple. What I laid out before is that there are people around us with needs. And I firmly am a believer that as people try and solve all the issues in the world through government agencies or nonprofits or, you know, those things are great. But what would really solve all the problems in the world, anything you can name America is going through right now, is if God's people lived like Jesus, if we lived out his kingdom here on earth, if we didn't just know it but actually did it, that would solve the issues of this world. His kingdom would be here. We would be looking beyond cultural differences. We'd be looking beyond race, socioeconomic lines. We'd be looking beyond all of that and seeing the people that God created and loving them the way he wants us to. So that's the why. The why is that we get to show the love of Jesus in a practical way. The how and the when. So I'm trying to keep this short because Michael and I are tag teaming this and I don't want to go on forever. But the how and the when is kind of cool because now I get to bring in a little story of how FSM started. The when, obviously, guys, is right now. Don't wait. The when is do it now. The how we do it is kind of the fun part. I don't know how you do it. I don't know. I know that it's different for all of us. And that's the cool thing is we're not all the same. We don't all work at the same place or live in the same neighborhood. And how cool is that, that God has sprinkled us all throughout this culture to be hospitable homes open to helping and showing God's love in different workplaces with different people. You are unique missionaries where other missionaries will not reach. And every day you go out your door, you are salt and light to the world. Or you could be, I should say. Maybe you're not, but you could be. If your faith in Jesus is moving you, if you really want to follow, and when I say follow, I'm starting to picture it more like this. Not like the vague follow Jesus, but the legit, if Jesus was walking in my shoes, where would he go? Who would he talk to? Who would he stop and say hi to? Who would he bless with his coat? Who would he feed? Who would he protect from being bullied? You know, you see all these times where Jesus stands up for people that society looks down on. And I know that we know who our society looks down on. So who are those people? And how can we show them love? And the when is today. So I'm just going to give you the story of how FSM started. Before I do that, I want to read the second part of this passage. And this is the kind of, this is the troublesome part to me. It's all fun and it's all encouraging. And then all of a sudden Jesus tells this second part of the parable. And you're like, dang. That's hard. And so let's listen to the second part where he says this. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not come visit me." Then they also will answer saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least one of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. And so this is one of those passages you struggle with, because I know we all can, right now, in our minds, think of times that we have said no to what we knew God wanted us to do. That we saw an opportunity and it was inconvenient. We were on our way somewhere and we were already late. So why would we stop and help that person? Because I got a place to be. I feel cultural and social pressures to be on time. And like we just feel all these things pushing us away from what we know the heart of God is. And we can either give in to those or we can say, no, enough. I'm following Jesus today. I don't care the cost. I don't care if I'm late and I offend someone. I'll get to share with them that I helped this person and the story that came out of that. And look, whoa, we just found a conversation about our faith and you were trying to figure out how to talk to this person about it. The reason you're late is because your God told you to stop and show love and compassion on someone instead of continue on in your busy life. Like, it's amazing when we start taking for real what God says in his word and start living it out, the cool stories we get to share with each other as brothers and sisters as God brings alive Christianity. It's no longer a thing. It's a life. It's a relationship. It's lived out. It changes this world because he changes us. So that's what I want you guys to see. So here's the story of FSM. I graduate from Trinity. This is the quick version. Some of you have heard it. Some haven't. I graduate from Trinity. I changed my major. I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a doctor because they make lots of money and pastors don't. And so I wrestled with God in college and I fought it for a long time and just through people constantly telling me, not constantly, I shouldn't say that. That sounds very proud. From people telling me repeatedly that I should be a pastor and then confirming it whenever I'd have a question about it, I decided to change my degree to Christian Ministries Youth Ministry, and I followed God's calling into that. And then I graduated, Lauren and I got married, and then I was like, okay, God, I did you a favor. I changed to Christian Ministries. You kind of owe me a paid professional Christian position with the title in the office and the whole thing. So I'm waiting for that. And it didn't happen. I started working at a stone place where I was selling stone, stacking pallets. You know, it was very frustrating. It was my time of wrestling with the Lord. And so I wrestled with him. And I was missing the point of what he was trying to teach me in that moment. And it was a couple years I wrestled with him. And I was like, God, why? You know, I changed my degree. I was so sure this is what you wanted for my life. And yet now I question because there's nothing. There's nothing for me. And he pushed back in my times of wrestling with him and said, Zach, you go and you skateboard, true? And I was like, yeah, every now and then. I'm not that great, but I do it. And he goes, and there are people all around you that are alone and hurting and need to hear my love, true? And I was like, yeah, I guess. I think I know where you're going with this. And then he said, you know, he just said to me, like, go and share my love with these kids. Go and be a part of their community and engage with them in relationship and open up your home to them. You don't need the title. You don't need the paycheck to be on mission for me. And so I did it. I went to the skate park with my buddy Noah, and we just prayed the first time, like, Lord, clearly this is where you want us. We don't know what to do. We have no idea who to talk to or what you've got in store, but we pray that you will give us opportunity to show your love. And we promise that we will do our best to be faithful when you give us those opportunities. And it was at Vernon Hills Skate Park, and I had a cross carved into my skateboard, and something as simple as that opened this door to what is now Foundation Skate Ministry. Some kid asked me, hey, what's that cross mean? Boom. It was like God, he was just waiting for me to ask him to set it up. And then I got to just explain. And the interesting thing was, this teenage boy who you would think would want nothing to do with God was suddenly interested in what I was telling him. Like, he was interested in what I was sharing. And so he was asking questions. I was like, hey, why don't you grab a couple friends, you guys can come over, we'll cook out on the grill, and we can talk more about this. We can even open up God's Word and see what he says about it. And surprise, surprise, they said yes. Like, it was just a really cool moment where, like, I expected every time I'd say something, I'd be like, they're going to say no, I know they're going to reject it. And no, it was a yes. And it just, it grew from there. They started bringing friends. There was one point where Lauren and I were providing food for everyone. There was like 30 kids in our basement, and like we were getting fines from our association because skaters were being loud and obnoxious in the alleyway. Like, and it was just this beautiful mess of like what it could look like if we just intentionally start welcoming people into our lives and showing them the love of God. And we did share the gospel with them, but we also showed them what a loving family looks like. I mean, we had ministry that came out of that we didn't expect. Single moms, who most of these kids were from single parent homes. They would be like, you don't understand, my son needs a role model, thank you for doing this so much, he really looks up to you. And I'm like, I had no idea that I'd be working with like single parents, I just figured I'd be working with skaters. And it was just a really cool time of like, the dream was there, the mission field was there, this thing that I didn't know that's actually called hospitality, which was seeing people who had a need, and then allowing God to use you as you meet that need. And then gospel conversation happens, and they get to experience the love of Christ practically, and as it's shared through word. And many of them came to Christ, and so we got to walk with them then through discipleship. And that's kind of the cool part of this story is, Michael was one of those kids that was a part of our skate ministry, and I got to walk with Michael through life, and I got to do life with him. And I remember when Lauren and I were deciding to move on, there was this part of my heart that like got really proud and said, God, I can't let my ministry die. Like, I've poured my life into this. I can't let it die. And he just pushed back like, this is not your ministry. Like, this is my ministry. I'm doing the work. You get to be a part of it. And so it was in those moments where I was like, okay, God, if we're moving forward with something else. And I remember going through interviews and being like, I'm really interested in this position, but I don't have anything lined up for the skate ministry. So like part of me was saying, I can't say yes to anything until I figure that out. And it was really cool how we started exploring these opportunities more and more and knowing that that's where God was leading, but not having all the answers again. And he brought Michael and Marissa, came back from Alabama, coincidentally, right? Just by coincidence. And, like, I remember thinking, this would be awesome. Michael's, like, the guy that I was thinking would be amazing at ministry before he left for Alabama. And I was super bummed when he left. But then he came back. And so then I kind of floated the idea. Pastor Roger and I were praying about it. And I said, would you be interested in helping out with Cornerstone's youth group and the skate ministry? And he was like, yeah, that would be something I'd be interested in. Let's pray about it and think about it. And long story short, as you guys know, we stepped out to go be a part of this church plant. And can I just tell you guys, it's the same thing that we do with the skate ministry. It might look a little different, but it's really just about opening up our home and meeting the needs of our neighbors and those around us. And that's what all of us are called to do together. And that's how God's kingdom is here on earth, is when we're doing this thing called hospitality. It's nothing like mind-blowing. It's nothing crazy. It's just a name that describes us letting our lights show and pouring out the love of Jesus that he's put in us. It's us reflecting the gospel back to the world around us. And from my story, what I've realized is when you know God's leading you somewhere and you don't have the answers or you feel inadequate, that's awesome. Push into that. When you feel like you can't do it on your own, that's great. Because then you get to be a part of an adventure where God starts to do things. And you get to look back and be like, there's no way this was me. Like, I'm a part of something bigger, and I see it clearly. So that brings us current. I wanted to have Michael come up, and on the second half, he's going to kind of encourage you guys some more. He's going to cast some vision for where Foundation Skate Ministry is going. I'm really excited for that. This will be the official handing off of the skate ministry, and we're going to get a chance to pray for him. And I know that he's been a blessing to you guys. He's a blessing to my life. So thank you for letting me share my heart and what God's been doing over the past 7 years. And I will hand over the mic. Oh, you have your own mic. He doesn't need this mic. I will let Michael take over.
Is this on?
Get it?
Is it good? Thank you. Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay. So different. I'm usually down there. And I can hear everything. I just wanted to open up and say thank you. Thank you so much. You may not know it, but there are two rooms right over there. Each week we meet with skaters that just skate and have no idea what goes on in the rest of the park, and you probably don't know what goes on in there, but they through your tithe, through your selfless giving to what God has called you to, you allow skaters to have, I feel like it's a sad commercial, I should have a picture of like a brook, with your donation. But no, for real, this is what God has called you to give, allow the church to have the building, to have the air for us to not, you know, pass out in when we skate, just to have this moment where we have Bibles already, we have chairs for people to sit in, you know, we just have this place that we built a skate park, and hopefully we can continue to build, but, you know, that's other stuff and more meetings we have to talk about. But that is one of our hopes, is to build bigger and to allow more kids to come in, because honestly, when you have 20 kids in there, it's awful. And they're hitting each other, and it's running in, not like physically, like, get out of my way. But it is just hard, and to have more space would be awesome, because, at least me, selfishly maybe, I want more kids. Because more kids to come, more kids to hear the hope of God, more kids to go out and share it, to be at the skate park. And whether they believe it or not, they already know it. You get that? And then in that moment, maybe it's like, whoa, dude, you're struggling, and I heard something about it, but I don't know. Maybe I'll reach out. God, you know, Zach said, I heard it one time, you know, just stepping out in faith, so I'm going to step out. So if we had more kids to do that, that would be awesome. I had notes, and I just feel like God, Zach totally took it another direction. I kind of want to run with it. Hopefully we can tie it in. But I think I'm going to start with what I was going to end with. And the hope of FSM and our vision is to have, I'm saying every 6 weeks, maybe it's every once a month, but we're going to share a meal. And I didn't even think about it. I didn't even consider hospitality. I thought of it as a place of just saying, dude, we're not going to dig into the Bible. We're not going to do this. We're just going to have this time. Now, Zach made me feel better. We're meeting guys. We're doing what Jesus wants us to do. But it's just an opportunity where we can say, come, bring your friend, bring whoever. Like, you saw a homeless dude on the side of the road? Dude, he needs a meal. Bring him with, or, you know, whatever. Come here. So every 6 weeks, that's what our hope is, just to have a time where you can skate, join us around whatever table we make or plastic table that's in storage, and just meet with us and just share our stories and just talk. Because it encouraged me, you know, and bringing me back to where I was in a teenager, just meeting in Zach's basement, meeting at skate parks in his tiny little pathetic grill that finally died. And I actually asked him, I was like, do you have that grill anymore? He said, no, that thing rusted out on the bottom, that thing was gone. Because it was well used, it was well loved, and I that's what I wanted to be again. Yes, skateboarding and Bible studies are awesome, but how much have you guys loved going to someone's house or having our banquets or just sitting around the table and just sharing a meal with someone is just, it's awesome. Yes? Yes. Now, sitting around with a bunch of skaters and then you get to skate and hang out, like, at least that's my hope, and that would be so cool. So this is where the, you know, sure every person loves to come to church. This is how you can donate to the ministry. This is, I'm going to guilt you, and now this is how you're going to feel better about it. But if you want to, come see me, because if you want to make a meal, if you want, here's $20, go buy as many hot dogs and hamburgers as you want. Or here, you know, I love cooking, but I can't have anyone over to my house. You know, it's just size or whatever. And we're not asking anyone to open up their house. We're going to have it here at the church. But if you would say, I love cooking, or I want to be generous, you know, here it is. And I would love that. You don't have to. We're going to make a way. We're going to do whatever. God's going to provide. And if you want to be a part of it, be a part of it. But I wanted to say, that's what we're going with FSM. That's what we're kind of going with. I mean, we kind of do it at the youth ministry anyway. We hang out and eat Doritos and drink Mountain Dew and feel really healthy and go see your doctor after youth group because you got diabetes again. But what we've been talking about FSM is something that I've been looking at the last 6 months to a year. It's kind of just a reawakening, just a refreshing, because I think we forget who God is. I think we think so much about, which is so important, but the cross and the resurrection is the only way to God, but I think we forget about who God is. And that's one thing we've been really focusing on at FSM, because all these guys, they say, I don't believe in God. Well, what? If you actually, did you just hear what you said that came out of your mouth? You don't believe in God. So your second thing you actually believe in is just something that just kind of happened. And they're like, oh, I guess you're right. I guess I am just putting my faith in it, just kind of like, it was just here one moment. And I was like, yeah. So we're just kind of pushing into that, like, what are you actually believing in? This is what Zach, we did in his basement. What are you guys, Zach brought things up to our attention. Zach pushed me, grew me in so many ways that I had no idea. And now you're looking back, it's like, just that one time I said I doubted, or that one time, you know, Zach was there to talk to me. And this is where we're going now. Like, this isn't a theological debate. This is purely a time to think and sift through the crap the world throws at us. Kids go to school, they are taught science. Science is great and well, and it's awesome, but it should point us back to God. Do you agree? We should see God in all of science. We shouldn't see a man's idea trying to find his way in the universe. It should say, no, God knew us in our mother's womb. He created us. He loves us. Science says, you know, this is that. This is our creator and just how awesome he is. So that's one thing. We've just kind of been sifting through that stuff. The world say that God doesn't exist, and we're to look to science and our own answers, and anyone that believes in a God is small-minded and incapable of opening their mind to see the true answer is science. This kind of sounds hopeless. This kind of sounds... I say hopeless. I think that's the only thing. If that's what we're relying on is science, and this is what we're doing at FSM. We're saying, why? Why? You guys are just taught this. But do you believe it? Because if you're actually to believe it, do you see how, like, hopeless that is? sorry, I need some water. The world tells us that all religions are the same, and that we're just in the same boat as any other religion. Our belief that everything is relative, and that what you believe is okay, but what I'm going to believe, what I want to believe, so we don't have this tension between us, you know, and it's like, no, like, if you actually think about that, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. If you actually think about that, what you're saying is, I don't really care about you, I just don't want anything, you know, I don't want to have to deal with the stuff that might come up. But if we're looking at, if we're having the heart of God, God created each and every one of us. He cares about the people that doubt. He cares about the people that say, I want nothing to do with you. He cares about their thoughts because he created them, and I'm really trying to push into that. Like, he still cares for you, whether you say you're an atheist or agnostic or whatever, because he created you. And they're like, what? For real? Like, for real? Like, that's where you came from. This is where it all stems from. Because at first it might sound like a good idea if we just believe what we want to believe. But once we dig into it, we kind of come to an end. We kind of find, whoa, you know, it does all point to God. I should have looked up the scripture, but it says, all of my creation sings my praise. Wherever you look, you're going to see me because it is me. I created it. Without me, there's nothing. So that is one thing we've been pushing into. But then, because we all have doubts, we all have questions. Oh, thank you so much. Look at that, generosity and hospitality. Because we all have doubts and questions. And if I'm saying it's a free space to skate, to come, not to feel like a quote-unquote church. Yes, it isn't a church, but honestly, some kids drive around the building and they're like, well, this is a church? Yes, it's a church. There's a sign out front. Yeah, like, oh, I had no idea. This is awesome. I'm going to tell someone I came to a church today. Okay. But I was saying, it's also a space that they should be able to ask that question freely. And they should never have the response to be like, you think what? How dare you have that thought of who God is? Like, no, like, I once was dead in my transgressions. I still am. Like, without the cross, I'm nothing. And I think having that mindset, and I've seen guys, their eyes open. They're like, wow, dude, I mean, if it wasn't for this place, just skateboarding, I probably would have kept on living my life in ignorance. To be honest, without Zach saying, stepping in or having him just share a meal with me, I probably would have been in the same boat. But another thing we've been pushing into, and I'll try to not take up too much more time, is that, yes, the existence of God, but who God is. And plain and simple, it's Jesus. Jesus is God. It's the Trinity of Trinities. I don't want to get into that. That could be a whole series of sermons. But we've been really focusing on these two verses. I've been focusing on these two verses for the last 6 months to a year. And we should know them by heart. If I say it's Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We've all heard that. Yes. We all know that. Yes. But if we actually look into that and think about what just happened in that moment, in the beginning, God created time. Right there, in the beginning, was God standing outside of time and space, and He created it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the moment He created the universe and the earth that we live in, and it's such a we're a finite creation, and in that moment, He created everything. The right amount of oxygen that's supposed to be in the air, the right amount of molecules in our body and how much water and this and that and things we don't even think about, that in that moment, that's what God created. And I think when we talk about that and we're saying, this is who God is and this is who Jesus was, that died on the cross for our sins, and they say, are you serious? Like, that is the same God? Yes, it is the same God, because He's the only God. He's the one true God. That opened up my eyes to see Him, because I couldn't find Him. I mean, He could hit Himself for all I could know. And I think pushing into that and saying, this is Jesus. This is Jesus that died on the cross. And then it says, and the other verse is John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word, well, I read that wrong. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. Who is the Word? It's Jesus. And in the beginning, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God and is God and will always be God. And I think it's just with these two verses, it's continually just reshaping my faith and allowing this time to say, you know, guys, we're not looking at a God of religion. We're looking at the God of the universe. We're looking at the God that is outside of it all, and if He's affected by it, He's not God, so therefore He has to be outside of it. And I just love this. So it really is shaping FSM, shaping these guys. And it's not every time we speak about this, we've kind of had the same 10 guys, so we've been really just going at that. So that is what that's what we've been teaching on. That's what we've been focusing on, is that God, it's the gospel in its essence. That God created us. He loves us. That we needed a Savior. We needed a way to God, which is Jesus. And it's just beautiful to see how the gospel radically changes people's lives. And it continues to changes people's lives. And I can't wait to see how it affects our meals, and how just opening up the church and having a meal with kids is going to just radically change it. So just want to wrap up in that if you want to share a meal, if you want to make a meal, great. But if you would, if you have no idea what FSM is, this is your first time hearing about it, I mean, come talk to Zach or I mean, me more likely because I'll continue to be here. But pray to the God that loves us, that loves the sinner, that loves the lost and the broken. And he says that the whosoever's, those that are in the highways and the byways, that are those that are lost, that come to me. I love everyone, but those that want me, I just can't wait to see how that changes it. But yes, continue to pray. A brief prayer, because it's through prayer God moves mountains. Thank you for opening up your church doors. Thank you for allowing skaters in, whether you knew it or not. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I think we're going to have a time of prayer, but I just wanted to allow us. Just want to close in prayer. And if you have anything, just please come see me or Zach after the service. total side note, total different. I've been meaning to do this. We have RAD t-shirts. RAD is our youth group, Redeemed Anointed Disciples, RAD. None of the youth guys bought them. Michael, Carol. So if you'd like them, I have all sizes. They're $15. You don't have to. They're sitting in my office, and each week I tell the youth guys, they're like, oh, that's too pricey. I was like, you're not paying them for them in the first place. So tell your parents. But I wanted to open it up to you guys. If you want them, I have them. And then we will have FSM shirts eventually. So if you're one that likes to rock that apparel, if not, it's just out there. I didn't want to forget another Sunday. I think they're going to be eaten by moth soon, so I like to get rid of them. But yeah, I just want to pray. If you wanted to do a meal, if you want whatever, just continue to pray for the youth group, for FSM, for my family. It's just a tough time right now. Marissa's back in school. I got a new job. So it's stretching. But pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray within every moment. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Zach, and I thank you for Lauren. I thank you for the church opening up their doors and the congregation, Lord, that's just being so generous to people they've never even met. Lord, just forgive us for not being hospitable, Lord. Forgive us for seeing you on the side of the road and not helping you. Forgive us for not welcoming you in. Forgive us for not sharing a meal or giving our last $5 to someone when they needed it more than we did, Lord. So just thank you for forgiving us, Lord, but allow us to live in a life of hospitality and a life that just is a complete surrender to you, Lord. We surrender this church, our ministries, our everything, our jobs, our lives to you, Lord. And we just can't wait to see how you radically reshape them. I just continue to pray for FSM and the messages that come up and that praying against the darkness, Lord, that has grabbed hold of this world, of the cities, of these townships, Lord, the people's lives that are radically wrecked. Allow us to continue to pray against that and to see you answer these prayers, because you want the captive to be set free. And if it's our own, Lord, that we've slowly let things come into our lives, Lord, set us free in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day. Please let fall come soon. In some cold weather. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.